So, everybody, I want to start with an announcement that I hope you guys will regard as good news. I regard as good news. Hopefully you will as well. And that is that beginning on April the 23rd, we are changing our meeting time to start a half an hour earlier so that we have a full 2 hours for this program. You know, it was written as a 2 hour a curriculum for 2 hours each class time. So again, Sue just joined us, so I'll repeat it again. We are going to begin on April the 23rd. We're going to begin this program half an hour earlier so that we have a full 2 hours for the program. So hopefully that fits with your schedule. If not, then you may miss some of the sharing at the beginning, but hopefully you guys can all work that into your schedule. All right. And speaking of sharing, that's where we are now. It's your opportunity to share your journals, your questions, your insights from lessons 43 to 46 in A Course in Miracles, the tips, NTI Acts chapters 5 through 7, and the two evaluations from Course in Miracles. So who would like to share? Yes, Dawn, please.
Well, I'm already unmuted, so I might as well. Sorry about that clicking you may have heard.
I didn't hear it.
Oh, good. So for me, what happened was my boyfriend gave me an early birthday present. So it was...
Oh, that's enough details.
Stop, Connie.
No, not by now. It was professional. It was like $150 massage. I've never paid for a massage. Like, seriously, that was like and then a $40 tip on top of that. I was like, wow.
Awesome.
So that was a first in my whole life of receiving. And it was a 90-minute massage. It was called a Zen massage. But anyways, that's not the whole point. The point was, something kept happening that day where I was feeling all this immense joy and just one beautiful thing after another, the massage. And then while I was in the massage, I had this thought of going to a nearby beach. The beach was gorgeous. The water was perfect. The waves, the wind, everything. Kissing my boyfriend on the beach. Everything. Just picture it. It's just like what everybody says, right? And then before we went to the beach, he took me to this place that I hadn't been to since I was in my 20s. And we had some sushi, and right in the middle of it, it's just like, you know, you're just having that foodgasm experience. And it was just like literally everything, perfect. You couldn't ask for anything better. And him doting on me, and then him being so excited that I just loved it. But what came through for me, which I feel like was a breakthrough, and I think it has everything to do with this whole awakening process and the ACIM lessons and the fact that I was doing the lessons at the time. So it hit me when I was at the beach. And a little bit in the middle of the massage, I was very, very present in the moment for the massage and just so super grateful. But when I was at the beach, all of a sudden, I'm just feeling giddy, like a little kid, just like so happy. And it hit me. I was like, whoa, wait a minute. It isn't the waves that are making me happy. It's me. I'm me. And then I started thinking about all the beautiful, glorious things that happened that day. The massage and everything and the kisses and all. And I was just like, it's not the massage that was making me feel blissful and happy. It's not that awesome sushi I just ate that was making me happy. So for the first time, I got to see what so many teachers talk about, but I never really saw for myself. And I think one of my major blocks was, one is, I, for instance, let's just use the beach as an example. I would think those gorgeous waves lapping at my feet and the beautiful, perfect blue sky and the way the air smelled and the perfect weather. It couldn't have been more pretty. I would have thought that's what's making me happy. That is my training. That is like how the world has trained me. Those waves and all the beach atmosphere were making me happy. So, well, at least that's the old thinking. So for me, when I had that sudden just looking at the waves and like, no, it's not the waves. All of a sudden, this, it felt like an ancient fear in me just disappeared. Because I understood for the first time why when good stuff happens, like there's this background fear, like, oh God, when's the other shoe going to drop? Like, when's this bad thing? You know, because when the good stuff would happen, there was always this unsaid or like a tension, an unease, like hiding, lurking beneath the surface. Like, even while I'm trying, like, a happy moment is happening and joy is happening and peace is happening. And I would, there was like a simultaneous fear, like, oh my God, when's this going to be ending? Or, oh, when I leave the beach, oh, there goes my happiness. Oh, the massage is over. Oh God. And then I would get anxious of, when am I going to book my next massage so I can feel that again? Something shifted that day. And this was just a couple days ago because, you know, I had an early birthday present because I knew I would be working today, you know, so we celebrated early. And wow, I'm still trying to process it all because this literally for me, I don't know about, but it's dislodged some major fear like that. Thank you, Jacqueline. I mean, talk about a birthday present. Now that's a birthday present. This is the source of happiness is in here.
Yes.
That means regardless of their waves, regardless of whether there's a massage, regardless of my boyfriend is saying the most beautiful, awesome things you've ever heard ever out of anyone's mouth, it doesn't matter. The waves can come and go, and I'm still, that source is here. So I'm just like so grateful to share that. I'm sorry. I just took a minute. Awesome. I think I was only supposed to speak for
one. What a lovely birthday gift to share with yourself, Dawn.
And us.
Yeah.
Thank you.
That's awesome. Listen, I want to say a couple things as a follow-up to what you said. You can tell that it's not the form that makes us happy. For example, had you gone to your massage or gone to the beach in a bad mood, you would not have had the same experience. You were just able to appreciate your happiness where you were. The other thing that came to me as you were talking is that, in fact, it's not even our thoughts that make us happy. I was listening to, Paul Hederman the other night, talk about this idea, for example, and that's just an extension of what you're talking about. So we don't want to shift from form to thoughts either. Not that you were saying that. I just want to bounce off what you said as a little bit of teaching here. For example, you know, if there are, if you're having thoughts, gee, I can't pay my mortgage. I can't, you know, I have to work and I hate my job, you know, thoughts that make you unhappy and you verbalize them and I hear them. They don't bother me. I'm still in whatever mood I was in. But if I claim those thoughts, if I have those same thoughts, I can't pay my mortgage, I don't like my job, or whatever those thoughts are, well, then there's a problem. So it's not the thoughts themselves. Again, it's our relationship with our thoughts. So that's just kind of an extension of what you were saying and what was coming up for me. Again, I am thrilled for the birthday gift that you gave to yourself. It's really beautiful. So, yeah, thanks for letting me share on top of your sharing. Who else would like to share?
I'll share.
Okay, cool.
Happy birthday, Dawn, and thanks for sharing that. That's a great experience. That is just beautiful. I think I posted some journaling from Lesson 43 on the board, and then Lesson 44, a little bit from just the experience itself from a practical standpoint. I'm really struggling with the practice in the lessons. And part of that is I've had this darn pneumonia since first part of February, and I cannot shake this cough. And I can have like these great quiet moments. And the minute I close my eyes, and try and settle down and breathe, the cough starts. And so I was frustrated pretty much all week with that, unable to really practice. And so towards the end of the week, I finally started just to kind of, I think, more of an allowance. So I quit getting so tense when I would cough, because I would go through these periods of, you know, trying to do the lesson and trying to do the awareness, watching awareness, because we had that great, you know, those, that 5-day span where that's all we had to do really was sit there and practice being quiet. And the cough would come up. And so what I decided to do is just kind of practice allowing that cough to be there. And I did that probably the last 2 days, and that helped a little bit, but it was just frustrating. What I jotted down was frustrated at first with cough that keeps showing up. I can't take any real deep breaths. No breaths allowed as it triggers more. And it certainly feels like something that is tethering me to the body, like it wants to make sure I remain aware of it. I was at times eventually able to settle in and accept the cough and actually feel some relaxation. So I just hung in there and kept working at it. And I know this cough can't last forever, so I'm looking forward to being able to practice a little bit more. And then really loved the lesson today and the tip today about the about love being space. I just can't even express what that did for me, as far as I've always thought of love as freedom. And that's kind of what that reminded me of, is just allows everything. The space allows everything. And I just love that. So when I was practicing a little bit today, I was able to allow my cough. So that was a good practice for me. And
perfect.
Really excited about starting a half hour early, because I always have to take off at about a quarter till. So it'll be nice. I'll get a little bit more time with you guys. So that's it. Thanks.
Great. Thank you, Kelly. That was excellent sharing. I hope your cough goes away soon. since you mentioned this, I do want to bring it up because some people joined us after I made this announcement originally. We will be beginning, starting on April the 23rd, we're going to be beginning at 6:30 p.m. Eastern time, a half an hour earlier than we normally start, so that we have time to properly devote to the curriculum. Yeah, thanks. Don posted the times and the date that we'll start doing that. Okay, who else would like to share? Marge? Wait, because I can't hear you, Marge. And I really want to hear you, but I don't. Okay, go ahead, Marge.
Well, this was the third day that we did lesson 44. And after doing the lesson the third day and reading the tip, I had a real sweet, light experience. God is the light in which I see. So afterward, I tried to write my experiences, but it's just difficult to do that. But I'll read what I have written.
Thank you.
God is the light in which I see. There is one light, one all-inclusive light, shining on everything is one. All are enfolded in this light. This is the flow of creation, life. There is nothing else. The light is like the sun without shadows, enveloping everything. We either flow with the movement of creation or we sleep. The light is everything. It is the love of God raining down upon all of us as one. This light love is so bright, warm, and loving in its increasing strength that it becomes ever more difficult to resist it. This oneness of everything enveloped in light, it is the light and love that make us one. And there was so much joy with that. So it was just wonderful, wonderful.
That's gorgeous, Marge. Listen, I would like for you to reread that line that says something about no longer being able to resist it. Can you read that one to us again?
Let's see. The light and love of God is so bright, warm, and loving, and its increasing strength that it becomes ever more difficult to resist it.
Just gorgeous. Thank you, Marge. That was beautiful.
Nice, Mom.
Yeah, it was sweet. It was great. Thank you.
That's awesome. All right. Is that the lesson, by the way, that says if you're doing this in earnest, there's no way you can fail, and you know, and you'll see results today. Yeah, that's really cool. That's awesome. Good. Good. Who else would like to share? Yeah, Christina.
I shared quite a bit on the forum about my meditation experiences, so I won't repeat that here. But I just want to say that the meditations for lesson 44 and 45, I mean, can you hear me? Okay.
Well, we're getting a little bit of, as you move whatever your device around. So if you quit moving, we can hear. Okay.
I'm holding my phone in my hand. But I just want to say that I found the meditations so profound, just in terms of going to a place where I had not been before in meditation or where else, seeing light and being in my heart and having the light radiate through me and from me out into the universe, and just feeling a sense of expansion that was so far beyond the borders or the limits of my body out into the universe, and just sensory perceptions, you know, the light and the expansion. And also I started hearing sounds that I normally don't hear in meditation. Some of them were musical and some of them were just tones. And I think that awareness of watching awareness meditation is so, I think it's transformative for me, and I think it's beautiful. I want to thank you all for introducing that to me and to all of us, and certainly Regina and the Awakening Together group. And I know it comes from beyond. But thank you.
Thank you, Christina. That's great. That's awesome. And again, it's nice to get those confirmations that we are on the right track. I think that's where awareness, watching where awareness will take us. Well, I know it is. It will take us all the way. Again, it's called by many, many masters, the direct means to enlightenment or eternal bliss or awakening. But this is the direct path. I do want to say we want to be sure, I mean, to dig to the very bottom or the very top, whichever way you want to look at it, what we want to be sure to do is to, even when we're seeing really cool stuff like lights or hearing tones or whatever's going on, we want to, at least at some point, we want to say, what sees this? Because if we can see it or hear it, you know, just like we do with our thoughts, what is it that sees these thoughts? What is it that hears these sounds? Because what we're actually aiming at is that merging with our awareness. And in order to do that, we have to dig deeper and deeper, even beyond the cool stuff. Because something in us sees the cool stuff. And what we really want to know is, what is it that's seeing this cool stuff? So.
Yeah. No, I'm perfectly aware of that.
Awesome. Yeah. Awesome.
But thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, that's very cool. Thank you for sharing it. Who else would like to share? Yes, please, Aggie.
So I guess one of the things that stood out for me, so this was on lesson 45, the second day on lesson 45, God is the light in which I see. I started listening to Regina's audios on the NTI teachings and was doing Acts 5 and 6. And I think that's the section. And for me, for whatever reason, the last couple of weeks, just guilt is like the lesson of the day. I mean, everything is just like one after another after another. And it's been like that for a while, but it seems like it's getting to the point where I'm allowing it to bubble up to the surface more lately, so I'm seeing it more. And all of these teachings that I'm doing the Understanding Purification, Singer's book, right? The Untethered Soul. So I'm just like, I'm getting it. I'm getting both barrels on all sides. So no matter what teacher, what book, what lecture, what movie that I seem to come across my path has to do with releasing judgment. In Acts, Regina talks about how it's the act of judging that creates guilt. And I never, ever thought of it like that. It's not the specific situation that happened. It's the fact that I judged it, and that created the guilt. And then in chapter 6, she talked about how NTI really starts with healing ourselves, kind of a little bit different than the Course of Miracles, which tends to be looking at your brother. But, you know, NTI is like really in. And that seems to be where I am at this point, believing that we're innocent and not guilty. And that's just, I wrote in the, as I have her stuff, I cut it up into a PDF so that I have a column so I can write notes. And right next to that, I wrote, yeah, but how? You know, yeah, you know, give it up. And so the answer is rest, accept, and trust, right? I mean, and one of the cards that I made for the pictures that I put on my forum post, it was just, you know, this child's hand in the father's hand, and it was just trust me. And it's kind of like that seems to be the basis of this, you know? I'm not going to know. I'm not going to know the steps. I'm not going to know A, B, and C, and then D is going to happen. I just have to trust. I need to remind myself when the thoughts rise up that the Holy Spirit and Jesus say that I'm innocent. Trust that that's true. Turn from the voices that want to mull it over. Retell the story one more time like there's some hidden clue in there that will make it all better. All I'm doing is making it real. One of my voices that laments says, it's in the past and you can never fix it. It's done, set in concrete. And it's a belief that haunts me. So all I can do is carry that burden around with me, keep it hidden so no one finds out how terrible I am. No. What I'm hearing in Acts and throughout all the teachings is that this is a lie. And the only problem is up until now, I have believed it. So
yeah, that's awesome, Aggie. Thank you for sharing. Yeah, I mean you're right on. It's about trusting the Holy Spirit's evaluation over my own. Holy Spirit, and we've been told this for years, you know, for as long as you've been looking at this material, you are innocent, you are innocent, you are innocent. It's and the way to start having that experience is to start reminding ourselves. Yeah, just like you said, when we feel guilty, no, we need to trust the Holy Spirit's evaluation of us more than we trust our own. And with that consistent application of that, we'll come to really see that. And that's key to releasing the guilt. Yeah. So thank you for sharing. Yeah. Dawn says, God is the love in which I forgive myself for this insane belief in guilt. Amen. All right. Let's see. I think we have time for one more share. Who would like to share? We have about 3 minutes left. If you go four, I won't fuss at you. Yeah, and Cindy notes in the course it says this is not sin but madness. Absolutely. Yeah. But the belief in our guilt is definitely madness. All right. Let me ask you, how's the awareness watching awareness going? Is everybody digging that? Are you getting it? Are you? Yeah. Don.
I still have questions.
Okay.
I think I get glimpses, but I think I'm getting trapped in a little confusion about it. So as far as I know, when I'm watching awareness, well, I can be aware of all the sensations in my body and for like a second, maybe a nanosecond, when I ask this question that I read about in Rupert Spira's book where he says, am I aware? For like a second, when I'm asking that, it's obvious. The second you ask the question, you obviously are aware, but then quickly there's a thought. So I guess there's some confusion as when, say I'm aware of like the energy moving in my body or a sense of flow or a sense of ease, or even if it's peaceful, sometimes there's this literal like blissful feeling happen in my body. And I know a lot of times Michael Langford talks about that being one of the little descriptors. I know he uses little hyphens, like it's awareness, bliss, love. So the confusion is coming when I feel this love, when I feel this bliss, and I'm paying attention to that. I mean, I'm giving, that is my focus. Like I feel it. It's like my laser beam focus is on that. And it can shift and move in the body. Like the love, usually it happens around this area, but it does feel like it expands sometimes. So if that's one of the things that I am, is this awareness, love, bliss, as I'm focusing on that felt sensation of what's occurring within me, that does seem to go beyond, there's a spaciousness that does seem to go beyond the boundaries of my skin. I do notice that. It does not stop at my skin. It tends to go out pretty far. And so my question is that it?
I think that's, again, like I was saying about these other things, I think that's a fine resting point to begin to know that space. But we'll go beyond that, and you can practice with going beyond that, and we go by beyond that by saying, who is aware of this restful space? Because if you're observing it, that's not you. That's a nice way station on the way, but you don't want to stay at the way station forever. You really want to. The awareness is what is aware of this bliss or this light or this sound or this feeling. What is aware of this? That's the digging that we talk about that goes a little bit deeper than maybe we've done in our meditations before. So again, it doesn't hurt to rest there because that feels so good. It doesn't hurt to rest there for a bit.
In my life, it is so helpful to rest there because I've been so in the opposite felt sensation for so long.
Yeah, you yeah. Know. So that's fine. It's fine to rest there, but we will go beyond that, and we want to go beyond that. We want to do that digging to see who it is who is aware of the resting.
Is it kind of like when you're on a journey and you're traveling the interstate and you kind of just stop at a rest area?
Yeah,
it feels good. You need to. You need that time to just rest, relax, and do whatever. But then you got to keep going.
That's right, because you're not going to get to your destination if you don't keep going at some point. That's right. Yeah, good analogy. Aggie.
Yeah, I guess I'm confused about that too. I mean, I can get to the awareness part, and I can do that like right now. I'm aware that I'm looking around my room. I'm aware I'm talking to you. With my eyes closed, I can, you know, kind of pull away from the thoughts and just, you know, who's here? So there's an awareness there. What trips me up is the awareness watching the awareness. And I guess I just really don't know. I don't know what he's talking about.
Yeah, well, and I will say that it does take some practice. So please just hang with it. Another suggestion is that is to read those instructions over and over. Not that they're going to say anything different at any given time, but just really becoming familiar with his instructions. And we gave you a link this past week. That's really helpful as well. The other thing that I recently found was really helpful for me in awareness, watching awareness, was to notice when, and when I'm meditating, you know, thoughts come up. And then I go, oh, I'm thinking I'm supposed to be meditating. It's interesting for me. It helps me get a sense of what awareness is. If I look at who sees these thoughts, or who was meditating a minute ago and now is looking at these thoughts, right? And for me to see that movement from being aware of one thing to being aware of another is helpful for me to focus on awareness.
So, see, that's part of what kind of trips me up, because for me, there is this attention, right? This, you know, focused attention, which is that part of awareness?
Yes, ma'am. Awareness, and that's another good reason to reread his instructions. It's everyday, ordinary awareness.
Okay.
That's it. And particularly for those of us who've been on this path for a long time, that's kind of hard to believe, because we're like, no, it's supposed to be bells and whistles or some superhuman awareness, but it's not. We're talking about focusing on your everyday, ordinary awareness. So, and it might be called attention as well. Yes, ma'am.
So maybe I'm closer to it than I think.
Yeah, probably.
Maybe language is tripping me up a little bit. Okay. Yeah. I will. I'll take your advice and go back and look at those instructions again.
Cool. Thanks, Aggie. Yes, Christina.
Yeah, I'm a little bit confused, because I understand the concept of being aware of the seat of consciousness, which is awareness watching awareness. And I think I'm hearing you say that if the awareness is focusing on sensory stimuli, then that's not awareness watching awareness. What happens to me is I'm aware that I'm seeing it or feeling it. Is that not what you're talking about?
I'm asking you to back up one more step. I mean, that's fine, but I'm asking you to back up one more step and ask, who sees this sensation in my head, or whatever the sensations are that you're talking about? So if you can see it, you're looking at something other than awareness, because something is looking at the things that you're experiencing.
Right. I understand that. I'm just, if something's looking at something, you're aware of the something. I mean, that's the point. The something.
You're aware of the thing you're looking at. But what we're trying to back it up one step and be aware of what's aware. And
full awareness is aware of the seat of consciousness, or the awareness, and not of anything else. Is
that yes, that would be one way to put it. I'm hesitant to put it in other teachers' terms and stuff, because that can be confusing, you know. But I think that we are talking about the same thing. It's what's aware of awareness. Yeah. And again, to sit with the lessons, to look at, and again, I think this idea of awareness being something very, very ordinary is really, really helpful. You know, this is a process and a practice. And so it's just a word to the wise, because I'm not saying anybody's doing it wrong. That's impossible. We can't do it wrong. I'm just saying that once we get to wherever we are, then we're going to want to see if we can back up just a little bit more and go, oh, I thought I was looking at awareness, but now I realize there's something aware of this awareness. Yeah, Don.
I was just curious, what happened to, I mean, I felt like even Regina, she does the loving consciousness method, which she still listens even to this day for 30 minutes, that audio, the loving consciousness.
Okay, don't get ahead of us.
Oh, to me, that seems easier than this.
Well, we'll look at some of those other techniques down the road. But for right now, let's do the awareness watching awareness, which we will not let go of, by the way, which is ultimately what they're talking about. And loving consciousness is a different way of explaining the same thing. But right now, let's just stick with awareness watching awareness.
Aww, maybe Aww. I can ask you the question later, then personal note. Sure.
Yeah. All right. So we are... Yeah, I don't know. I guess we just cut your part out, Connie. I'm only teasing. But so here we go. Let me go. And this is why it's going to help to have 2 hours, I can say. So I'm just going to run through the lessons and the tips and point out, I'm going to point out from the tips what stood out. First of all, I want to apologize for the first tip this week. It was long. It was convoluted. It was hard to read. And let me tell you why that is. I had an agenda, which, you know, we can talk about down the road what agendas do for you. But it did have an agenda, and that agenda is kind of what I was just talking to Christina about, and that is, and we talked about it last week in this meeting, it's kind of unbundling that language. Because we use language, particularly spiritual language, as a shortcut to an actual in-depth understanding of what we're talking about. And we think that we're getting into something really deeply. But if we're using these shortcuts, these unquestioned, again, it's those like those unevaluated assumptions. So I'm trying to unpack the language of A Course in Miracles so that we don't do that. So that we actually have as close as we can to a direct experience of what's being said without all the baggage. So that was what I was trying to do in the first part of the lesson. And then I realized that I needed to include this other stuff from Regina's original tips. So you got two, what you ended up doing was getting two tips in a row, all in one package. So again, I apologize for that. once I read that, I went, this really needs to be included. So let me review that right now. And that is, she went back to Ephesians, where we talked about being receivers of thoughts rather than thinkers of thoughts. And I want to say one more thing about this. Both the homework and the reading are the assignments that are necessary and helpful to us in this curriculum, on this consistent, gentle healing path. Sometimes they will directly correlate, and the tips will include both the ACIN lesson and the reading lesson. Sometimes they won't. Sometimes we might skip around in NTI to make a point. Or we might pull in, like I did with Richard Rohr's article this week, we might pull in totally stuff you all never even, looked at. So if we're quoting a different place in the book than that was included in the reading, that's okay. Oftentimes these things will complement each other, but sometimes they may not. So I just want to make that point. But again, Regina pulled in her tip here, her original tip, idea from Ephesians that we're receivers of thoughts rather than thinkers of thoughts. She talked about to see it like thoughts flying through the air with darker or more untrue thoughts being at a lower, heavier vibration level, and with true thoughts being at a higher, lighter vibrational level. And, of course, our receiver, the mind, has up until this point been tuned to the heavier thoughts. So, again, it's this idea of reprogramming our brains so that we are able, so we're able to tune in to the frequency of the higher, lighter thoughts. And so that's what our practices are aimed at. And she also pointed out, and I think it's a great point, that Sue wants to know if my voice is cutting out for anybody. Is it? No. Okay. Yeah. Must be something on that end, Sue. Okay. And then this point about the course refers to these higher vibrational thoughts as listening to the Holy Spirit. Tuning into those higher vibration thoughts is the same as what the course talks about as listening to the Holy Spirit. So I thought that was an excellent point. And that was for God is my source. I cannot see apart from him. And then in lesson 44, God is the light in which I see. The point was made that light and awareness are synonymous. That's the light in which I see. Right? It's our ordinary awareness unblocked by all our thoughts and blah, 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 who we think we are, and, once removed, It's our ordinary awareness. Our ordinary awareness is the light in which we see. But again, it's unpolluted by all that stuff we normally bring. And then we talked again, that's where we gave you the links to the instructions for awareness, watching, awareness, meditation. And the lessons have, for the most part, begun to incorporate time for awareness, watching, awareness within the lessons. day two with lesson 44, God is the light in which I see. We looked again at the fact that light and awareness were synonymous, that they go together, being but different aspects of creation. And we looked at the fact that creation is really talking about the totality of reality. So light and awareness are really light or awareness and life go together because they are different aspects of creations, life or isness, awareness, light, intelligence, knowledge, love, embracing, allowance. These are all aspects of the truth of who we are, of our natural beingness. And that's why light and life go together, right? Because it's awareness of the truth of what we really are. This point is also made in this tip that seeing isn't with the eyes at all. We see with awareness. And again, I was telling you, I was watching Paul Hederman the other day, and he used a great phrase that I think really brings this point home. He says, you know, the eyes don't see, they facilitate seeing, right? It's only if there's life in this body that the eyes work to see. When I die, when the life is gone from this body, these eyes quit seeing. Now, on the other hand, you might take them out of my head. I might be an organ donor, put them in somebody else's head, and then they can see with them. But unless there's life in that body, they don't see. So the eyes merely facilitate seeing. The ears merely facilitate hearing. But it's the life, it's the awareness that sees and hears, not the body.
I'm going to donate my ears.
Huh?
I'm going to donate my ears.
I'm not sure you can do that, Connie, but we'll remember that when the time comes. let's see. And again, the whole point here, God is the light in which I see, is awareness, watching awareness. As we said here, because awareness is an aspect of reality, focusing on awareness is a means of awakening to reality, which is the goal, right? Let's see. And then we had that lovely article from Father Richard Rohr. Highlights of that, I am already one with everything. All that is absent is my awareness of that. So again, you can see how this awareness, watching awareness, is the direct path, right? It allows us to be aware of what we already are. We're not gaining anything. We're not becoming better people. We're not becoming better meditators. We're becoming more attuned to what we are. And we do that through awareness, watching awareness. Okay, and then on lesson 45, God is the mind with which I think. Again, we need to tweak the language a little bit here. It's not what we've come to know it as, either in normal human discourse or in course language or in anything else that we've brought to this. God is the mind with which I think. It's the thoughts it's referring to are not the words of your native language, like Michael Langford talked about. They're not picture thoughts. And this is important because if you're trying to find the right words in your mind, you're still focused on form. So in this context, God is the mind with which I think. To think is to have in consciousness. So a thought is something in consciousness. So when we talk about our real thoughts, we're talking about aspects of reality. Again, life, awareness, embracing, allowance, or love, right? So these are my real thoughts. These are the real things in consciousness. And then Connie wrote the day two with lesson 45. It was a lovely, lovely, lovely tip about her time at Endeavor Academy and how when she woke up, she had that experience and that light experience, and she really felt that connection with all of life at that point. And she told us that the reason she had that experience upon waking was because she hadn't yet collected Connie back, right? She hadn't collected all those blocks back that would keep her from being with the real thoughts of God or the real aspects of reality. Right, Connie?
That's right. It was before I got in back to the personality and all this, you know, all the stuff that goes with that. I was clear and free to be able to hear the voice for God. It was quite an experience. Thank you.
Thank you, Connie. And then finally, I think it was Kelly referred to this lesson, God is the love in which I forgive. And we really just got to look at this idea of love again, because, you know, love is one of those words, whoo, that's loaded, right, with connotations and baggage. But just this idea of love as perfect allowance, perfect freedom, openness, and the idea of spacious love as spaciousness, the same thing, meaning the same thing, but that's just can be really, really helpful in terms of this, in terms of learning to be that love, in terms of the allowance. Funny, I really enjoyed this video from Paul Hederman. In case y'all can't tell, he uses the analogy of the sky. Right? He says, when it rains, does the sky get wet? No. If a bird poops, does the poop go on the sky? No. If a plane's going across the sky, does it call up the tower and say, hey, I just ran into a big chunk of sky? No. The sky allows everything. And that's, again, this idea of spaciousness. This is the allowance that we are practicing. We allow everything to be as we are in our true nature. So it was suggested that one extra practice that we add is taking time to notice our natural openness. And that's contrasted with what the mind does. Judges, rejects, condemns, evaluates, all of that stuff. And there's a difference. And there is a natural openness that we possess and that we can get in touch with. And at the end of that lesson, we looked at forgiveness as open allowance without clinging. And then there were some instructions for that. Someone insults me. I get angry. I see my anger. I'm aware, right? I see my anger. Then I remember my purpose in my heart. I practice rest, accept, and trust, which is open allowance without clinging. And then, of course, the temporary event ends as all temporary events do. So that's a review of the lessons. Connie, how far behind am I? I usually write down the times. I didn't.
Yeah, we got 38 minutes.
Okay. 10, 20. Okay, good. I got about 8 minutes for this part, right? No. I got about four.
What part are you doing?
Huh? I'm doing,
what part are you doing now?
I'm going to look at Acts. This is why we're moving to 2 hours, guys. All right. So let's see, Acts chapter 5. I'm going to hit the highlights here. An obstacle to hearing the Holy Spirit is your own sense of guilt and unworthiness. I got notes. Yeah, and really, and Aggie went over this to some extent. First of all, we're as Aggie said, we're attuned to, if I feel guilty, then I must be guilty. And so we kind of just eat that guilt, right? We subsume it within ourselves. If I feel guilty, I must be guilty. But that's not true. What's really going on is we feel guilty because we are judging ourselves about something. We're making an evaluation, a judgment about what's just happened or what I just said or something, right? It doesn't mean I'm actually guilty. As we're learning, we're not guilty. All that means, so when you feel guilty, you don't have to go, oh, I'm a, therefore must be guilty. What you do instead is say, I feel guilty because I have just judged. I have judged myself. So, and again, this is critical, mm-hmm. this letting go of the belief in guilt, either in yourself or in others. As it says right here, it's an obstacle to hearing the Holy Spirit. So this is why we have to trust Spirit. And again, when we feel that guilt, we need to remember that we're innocent, that the Holy Spirit's evaluation of us is innocence, and we need to trust that over this voice that says, or these feelings that say, you're guilty. We just need to remember that our evaluation of ourselves is wrong.
What we're trying to be about here is to start to step up and actively not participate in the habits that we participated in for so long. I must be guilty, you know, I did this or did that. But to say, no, I'm starting to accept that I am the innocent son of God and look at whatever's going on from that perspective instead of getting back in that habit of going, yeah, you did it again, you're worthless, you're no good. You know, it's time to give that up. That's what this course is about, to start giving that stuff up.
Yeah,
Aggie. I think Aggie wanted to say something.
Yeah. It occurred to me today that, well, this was based on something. I think it was Christina. Christina, wasn't it your post? You said something about being in the, when you're in that seat of consciousness.
Yes.
Right? That was you. And that kind of opened things up for me. You know, like I was still kind of stuck today in a situation that happened, and it was like this awareness, watching awareness that we're practicing. When you look at an event from that place, it's a whole different ball of wax. And it didn't occur to me that I was looking at the event from my ordinary ego self. Which is, you'd think you would know that, right? You'd say, oh, this, no. It was like this, whatever it was in me was sure that this was wrong, that I was right. You know, I had it all, and it's like, and then it, I started to argue with this idea of, because one of my aspirations is to accept life as it comes to me. And I'm going, well, how can this be right? This is wrong. This is absolutely wrong. If I were to say yes to this, that would be absolutely wrong. And I was literally stuck until I read Christina's post. Wow. And then it was like, whew, oh, wait a minute here. I'm looking from the wrong place. Because once you go into that awareness, watching awareness, okay, now it's a totally different picture.
Whole different ball game.
Whole different ball game. It's like, poof. And just all that angst that I had walked around all morning long just went, phew, like, okay.
That's perfect. Good. Thank you. Thank you, Aggie.
Christina, thank you so much, my dear, for what you posted. It was really, really helpful to me.
And thank you, Christina, for posting. Thank you, Aggie, for sharing. Thank you for all of you who are posting. Noticing is the mother of change, Cindy says. Thanks again, everybody, for your posts. And, we appreciate it. And they are helpful to other folks. So, All right. The next thing that I want to say, because Connie's got some stuff she wants to say too. NTI Acts chapter 6. I don't know if you noticed it or not, but it's talking about resting, accepting, and trusting. It talks about when that battle's going on in your mind, don't get in there and engage with ego. Don't don't try and fix it or argue with it. Just step back. Just step back and practice rest, accept, and trust. And then chapter 7, again, is about trust. Holy Spirit says to trust in me is to give everything over to me. To not trust in me is to want to do things your way. And this you are free to do with my blessing. So if you get guidance, you don't follow it, you're not guilty. You're not bad. But here's the kicker. But to do things your way is to continue to stumble. To trust in me is to learn and remember your joy. So that to the extent that you are able to trust and to surrender to guidance, do that, because that's where your joy lies. Trying to do things your own way will continue to result in suffering. You're not being punished. You just have the two choices. So, and then another really, so look for where fear would guide you to take matters in your own hands. Right? And just recognize that that's the choice that you're making. Okay? Doesn't make you guilty, but you will continue to suffer. Now, there's one more thing in this chapter that is critically important I want to share with you, and that is that the lesson is always the same. Inner Wisdom says, looks like you, or Holy Spirit says, looks like you might go through this problem and this problem, this will pop up, this will pop up. It's all the same lesson. It's what Course in Miracles talks about when it talks about transfer of training. The lesson is always the same, to fully surrender to Holy Spirit or inner wisdom. Whatever comes up, fully surrender. That's always the answer. One problem, one solution. Okay, Connie.
Hey. I think I'm going to read this, I'll read one paragraph here that, and maybe hit on some key points, but this one paragraph pretty much talks about the two evaluations. And it says, it is perfectly obvious that if the Holy Spirit looks with love on all he perceives, he looks with love on you. His evaluation of you is based on his knowledge of what you are. And so we evaluate you truly. His evaluation must be in your mind because he is. The ego is in your mind, is also in your mind because you've accepted it there. Its evaluation of you is, however, is exactly the opposite of the Holy Spirit. Because the ego does not love you. It is unaware of what you are and is wholly mistrustful of everything it perceives because its perceptions are so shifting. The ego is therefore capable of suspiciousness at best and viciousness at worst. That's its range. It cannot exceed it because of its uncertainty, and it can never go beyond it because it can never be certain. So you have two conflicting evaluations of yourself. You don't know how lofty the Holy Spirit's evaluation of you is. And basically, the next page over here, it says, the Holy Spirit judges every belief you hold in terms of where it comes from. If it comes from God, the Holy Spirit knows it's true. That's the grace of God. If it does not come from God, the Holy Spirit sees it as meaningless.
Let me just interject here. NTI talks about the same thing. I don't know if it's something that we've gone over yet or not. I don't know where it is in NTI. I can't remember. But it says when a thought comes into the mind, ask your heart if it comes from your heart. So you use your heart to evaluate that. And that sounded a whole lot to me like what Connie was talking about. Because it will resonate in your heart if indeed it comes from your heart. And you'll know that.
Yep. That's good. Yep. Yeah. And it's that same thing we talked about before, whether it's expansive and allowing or whether it's contracting, you're going to know where it comes from. I'm done.
That wasn't 10 minutes.
I had to make up some time for you, my dear sister.
Thanks. Listen, I did have another note here on mine. See, I'm going to go back to mine. You left me so much time. So we said one problem, one solution. So I just wanted to be clear about the solution. The solution is to accept what is given. Surrender, number one, accept what is given. Number two, surrender completely to spirit. And number three is to trust all things. That's always the answer. One problem, one solution. All right. So, where am I, Connie? Am I on Way Mastery?
I think you are.
All right. Let me open that up. Okay, so I'm really skipping around, so there's no point, even if you have a Way of Mastery, no point in you trying to read it with me, because I'm just going to hit a few highlights here. I am on Lesson 5 of the Way of Mastery. It's called The Keys to the Kingdom, and I've got notes on this too, imagine that. Yeah, and basically, let me start. It says a way in life means to have chosen from all possibilities that one will stand out as the way to which you are committed. And for us in this class, in this consistent general healing class, this is the way that we've chosen. One which will stand out as the way to which you are committed, the way to which you devote the whole of your attention, by granting your willingness that the way be followed. Just as when you take a journey upon your earth by making the commitment to take the journey, and you avail yourselves of experiences that could not come to you in any other way. Therefore, understand well that the way of the heart requires the willingness to commit. Commitment is nothing more than a deliberate decision that something will be so. And basically this chapter on the keys to the kingdom, that's what it's talking about, the four keys. And the four keys we're going to talk about are desire, intention, allowance, and surrender. That these four keys are what you need to make and keep that commitment. Of course, the ultimate commitment is awakening to our true selves. And the way we have chosen is this consistent, gentle healing. It says here, rest assured, whenever you believe that you have not succeeded or not completed some decision fueled by desire, it is because you were simply not wholly committed or you decided to change your mind. Mm-hmm. Let's see. You will not know how spirit will work through you, nor will you care, because you see, when there is no maker or doer or director, it will not matter to you. That is what it means to live as the wind, for the wind does not concern itself with where it has been or where it is going. It is moved by some mysterious source that cannot be located at all. Yet it blows, and as it blows, its effect is experienced. And again, this should sound like the truth of our being, right? This wind idea, it's like it's not my will, right? It's life force moving, and that's what I'm becoming attuned to. Okay, so the first key is desire. First, it says here, first, desire is everything. Without it, not a thing can arise. Therefore, what you desire is of utmost importance. And we have talked about this before, and I know we will talk about it again in the future, but it's critical to be clear on what our true desire is. You can form it. We talked about how we would form it in positive as opposed to negative terms. You know, I want to know only love. I want to be only love. I want to know only truth. All I want is to know my true nature. I mean, however you phrase it, whatever resonates with you, just know what your true desire is. Just like if you're taking a journey, you got to have that place on the map. Are you just going to go around and around in circles or whatever, right? You got to know where you're going. And that's what the true desire is. So we hold that out as a beacon for us in all things. The second key is intention. Let's see. Cultivate within your thought process the art of remembering what you are truly here for. You are here to remember that you are the thought of love in form. And that was JM's statement of his true desire, but it's the same thing that I'm talking. What is your true desire? So again, you cultivate that true desire. You put a motor into your true desire by setting your intention to let that be what it's all about. And JM says that here. He says the intention is that energy or that use of the mind that creates through consistent practice the channel through which desire begins to move down and re-educate the emotional body and even the cellular structure of the physical body and all of the lesser avenues of thinking that occur within the intellect. So everything involved in your being is integrated, working together and focused on the fulfillment of that one grand desire to accept your function in this world. Your function is healing your sense of separation from God. Again, another way of stating that that true desire. And so how do you apply this? The best way to apply this, the best way to set your intention behind your desire is to ask yourself, what do I want? So when somebody says something nasty about me, you know, do I want to be upset? What do I want? Do I want to be upset or do I want to awaken? You asking what do I want anytime there's an upset will bring you back to your true desire. And that's what we mean when we talk about intention. JM notes here, as you keep practicing asking that question, the answer will become clearer and clearer. For it is the question that influences, stimulates, and gives birth to the answer. So the idea here being, again, it's that snowball idea. The more we ask the question, the more we will realize, yes, that's our true desire. Awakening is our true desire. Failing to ask the question gets us caught up in all this miasma of whatever crap seems to be going on in our daily lives. But if we ask the question, we are focused right in on that beacon. So that it becomes clearer and clearer and true desire fuels itself. Okay. Yeah. And as along with that, as we ask repeatedly, consistently, what do I want? We will begin to notice different responses. Our responses to what's going on in our life will change, because we've become clearer and clearer on that desire. Yeah. All right. And again, if you remember to ask this once or twice a day, if you practice once or twice a week, well, you're probably not going to get very far. This is consistency. This is what are you about? What is your true desire? What fuels your life? That's what you got to figure out. And if it's not this, hey, that's great. Again, we're all innocent. We're all innocent. There's no guilt here. You're not bad. But you got to figure out, is this it? And it only when you figure that out and set your intention on your true desire will you and practice that consistently, will you have the results that you're looking for? All right.
And the cool thing about that is, and a lot of us are starting to have those experiences, and those experiences are exciting, they're joyful, they're motivating, they're thrilling. When you feel the expanse and the joy and the love in your heart, that's motivating. So, or when we do an inquiry and we get to the other side of the inquiry and go, oh, what a relief. These things are the things that we will know to a fuller extent as we awaken on this journey. And this is our joy.
Yeah. Amen. Thank you, Connie. You feel her heart. I feel your heart. Thank you. It's sweet. Okay. The third key is allowance. The third stage of the process whereby the mind is wholly corrected and one returns home is the stage of allowance. Allowance is the cultivation of a way of looking at the events of your life, not as obstacles to getting what you want, but as stepping stones. Each one presents you with a blessing of the lessons required to heal the obstacles to the presence of love as the source and ground of your being. And Aggie mentioned this a while ago. It's not something that I picked up in my review based on the time. But I think it's an excellent point. Guidance is given to us one step at a time. One step at a time. So, and we need to remember that, right? And that's part of the trust thing. This may not look like what I want to be happening right now, but it's all about healing. Every bit of it. It may look like an obstacle, but if you continue to encounter it as an obstacle, that's how you will experience. The question is, what do I want? And by looking at what do I want rather than how do I get rid of this obstacle, that opens up the space for healing. What do I want? Let's see. In the stage of allowance, we begin to cultivate an acceptance of all things in our experience. We begin to see that because we have made a commitment to awakening, the universe is already conspiring to bring the people and events into our lives on a moment-to-moment basis that can best provide us with exactly what we need most, what we most need to learn or become aware of. It's being served up to us all the time on a silver platter. It may not look like it. It may look like dog poop, right? But this is what we need most. And that's how we need to greet everything in our lives.
Yeah, you greet it as, you see it as a gift.
Everything's a gift. And so messengers are sent. That messenger could come in the form of someone whom you fall in love with, and there is something there for you to learn. The messenger could be someone who comes as the grain of sand within the oyster that causes the friction within you, that nudges you from your sleep. And you realize that you've been operating out of some very dysfunctional patterns and that you have got to get a better grip upon the truth of who you are. So it can come either way. Allowance then is the cultivation of a quality of awareness in which you rest in the recognition. This is important. You rest in the recognition that your life is no longer your own to dictate and control, but that rather you have given it over to the source of your own beingness, to that depth of wisdom in the depth of the ocean that knows best how to bring about what is required to push up the dross from within your consciousness so that you can release it. Again, just a real sweet way of saying what we've been saying, except emphasizing this point. Your life is no longer your own to dictate and control. Uh, allowance cultivates trust. You begin to realize that you do not really live in a real world at all. You live in a field of vibrations and energies that is operated by the law of attraction or resonance. And you begin to be willing to allow certain things to fall out of your life, even family and friends, trusting that because of your desire and intention, what passes out of your life must be okay. No grasping, no clinging. You know, this, my point being, these are two sides of the same coin. You know, I'm not attempting to gain anything or to hold on to anything. I'm allowing. What passes out of your life must be okay, for it will be replaced by new vibrational patterns, which come in the form of messengers, events, places, persons, and things that can carry you on the upward spiral of awakening.
Yeah, so we talked about this before, that everything is about our spiritual involvement.
That's right.
And as long as you don't make any exception to that, then you'll start to see that.
Yeah, and that's why it's so helpful to ask the question, what do I want? Do I want somebody not to interrupt me when I'm talking? And I don't mean anything by that. You not that you did. or do I want the truth? Or do I want to awaken? Again, phrase it however you want to phrase it, but phrase it in terms of your true desire. What do I want? Do I want to get my way? Do I want to raise? What do I want? And then that opens that up so that we can see it as the gift. Through allowance. And then the fourth key is surrender. Let's see. Yeah, and basically surrender isn't a separate choice that you make. Surrender is a result of making these first three choices. Mm-hmm. Surrender is a result of, let me get do the keys, of desire, your true desire, your intention, and your allowance. JM says here, as these three stages mature, you rest into the final stage of surrender. And surrender means there is no longer any restlessness. Surrender means you know through every fiber of your being that there is no one here living a life. There is life flowing through the body-mind personality for as long as it, as this temporary appearance lasts. That's all that's going on here.
Well, that's pretty powerful.
It is. And basically, yeah. It's what it said back here maybe it didn't say it in Acts. But basically, you'll recognize this phrase, not my will, but thine be done. That's what surrender is. Not my will. My will is to awaken to thy will. That's the truth.
Cheryl's asking if you'll repeat that statement that was so powerful.
Which one? Do you know which one she meant?
How our life is not our own, I think.
Yes, sure. Surrender means you know through every fiber of your being that there is no one living. Let me try it again for you, Cheryl. Surrender means that you know through every fiber of your being that there is no one here living a life. There is life flowing through the body, mind, personality for as long as it lasts.
Okay, Jacqueline, are you about done there?
We'll be in just a sec. What do you got?
I just wanted to know if Don got Lulu's question answered.
Oh, What's Lila's question?
The board there. There's a couple links that she can she can bookmark them. They're there for her. Might have to scroll up because I already posted the homework.
Oh, okay. So she got it. She got it.
All right, good.
Okay, sorry, Jacqueline. Go ahead.
That's all good. Let me just see what else here wants to be read. Okay, so these four keys, desire, intention, allowance, surrender, is a way of being in which your consciousness becomes totally open to your union with all of creation. Right? This is how it's done. It opens up like a flower. You will know that the body mind you once thought was yours is little more than a temporary teaching device, a tool to be picked up and utilized at God's direction and put aside when its usefulness is done. So, yeah, that's the wrap up of that.
Good Reminds stuff. Me of that movie. What was that movie that we watched, Jacqueline? Where the guy had the three alternative life experiences.
Yeah, I knew that's the one you were talking about. Isn't that funny? Mr. Nobody.
Mr. Nobody. Yeah, if you guys haven't seen that, that makes a point that Jacqueline was making in the Way of Mastery, in the reading of the Way of the Mastery tonight.
The point being, make it again for us.
Well, the point being is that our lives are lived basically that's it. Our lives are lived. So we can be in our right consciousness and experience that life lived, or we can live a life of resistance, or we can live a life of unconsciousness. But the life lived is the life we want to live.
Yeah, and that was the thing about him having those three alternative lives. Yes. You could see that it didn't matter which one it was.
It didn't matter, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. There were some different, completely different scenarios, but it didn't matter.
Yeah. Yeah, and the phrase that sticks with me from that movie is, everything turns out in the end, even badly.
Yeah.
Yeah. So let's look at the homework for this coming week. Dawn has already posted it for us. Homework assignment A will be workbook lessons 47 through 52. Note that we are going to do lesson 47 two days in a row. Yeah. And also note that we will begin our review lessons. Lesson 50 begins the review. So we'll be doing those this week. Also, as part of your contemplation, as part of your time with the lessons, be sure and listen to the tips. Not listen to them. You can't listen to them. They're not recording. Be sure and read the tips to help you motivate you to your own contemplation. We are also going to read NTI James, pages 419 to 426. So there's not a lot of reading there. We are, and this was not part of what Don posted because it wasn't part of the printed homework, but I want to, it should be. I need to put it write it into the curriculum. But here's the other homework assignment. We're going to practice awareness, watching awareness, at least 5 minutes a day. And again, these lessons may be asking us to spend that time, you know, going past our thoughts, like these lessons have been asking us to do. So it may incorporate that 5 minutes within the lesson itself. If it's incorporated, you can count that as your 5 minutes of awareness, watching awareness. If it's not incorporated in the lesson, then we're going to ask you to stay another 5 minutes after you've practiced with the lessons and do your awareness, watching awareness meditation. The other thing that's not written here is the journaling. I highly encourage you to journal and to post. And Yeah, and I'm a couple days behind, actually, on reading the post, but I really enjoy reading your post. As we heard a while ago, it's really helpful to others, your post. They may see something in your post that just, like Aggie was talking about a while ago, that just makes it click for them. So we're all teaching each other, and one of the ways we do that is by posting our journal entries. And then the last thing that I want to say is I want to remind you of the new class time beginning on April the 23rd. That's a couple weeks away. But beginning on April the 23rd, we will begin this class half an hour earlier. It will begin at 6:30 Eastern Time and end at 8:30 Eastern Time. That starts on April the 23rd. That's all I got. Connie, got anything?
No, thanks for letting us share.
Yeah, it's great to be with you guys. We love you, and we're so honored to be here with you. Peace out.